This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hi, I'm Tom, and I'm a Gen X grown-up, and I support Gen X grown-up on Patreon, and you should too. Go to patreon.com/GenXGrownUp.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X grown-up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown-Up Podcast listeners, to this backtrack edition of the Gen X Grown-Up Podcast. I'm John. Joining me, as always, is George.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
And you know Mo is here.
Hey, everybody.
And in this backtrack, you know, it's back to school time, and that kind of got us to thinking about how very different our educational experience was growing up as Generation Xers compared to how it is today. And when I say today, I both mean the current era and generation, but also it's worth noting that today in 2020 means something even weirder, doesn't it?
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah.
I actually feel very lucky that I don't have a school-aged child right now.
Yeah, you are.
And John, you too, but George, I think you're the only one of us that has a kid in high school right
Dealing
now,
with the logistics of the pandemic go to school, don't go to school.
That must be crazy.
Yeah. He's a senior, and actually, as we're recording this, he's at football practice, of all things. They're still doing football.
Yeah.
It's a very different time for him. There was a decision to be made during the summer as to whether or not he wanted to take classes in person at the school or remotely, because that's a thing now. It's been a little nervous this first week of it, but he's handling it well so far, and so are we, and we're being very cautious. They're doing things like no water fountains are turned on in the school, so kids have to carry these giant water bottles around with them. The kids do need an education, but we're living in a society now where it's maybe time to start rethinking how that education happens and what it is we need to be teaching these children. We're doing this episode about how we learned and what we learned growing up, right, in the Gen X era.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm not so sure that any of that, or maybe even all of it, was applicable then or now, because I'm not convinced we have the best school system.
Just the statistics prove that.
Yeah, they prove, it is.
Yeah, we're like number 9 in the world in math, and we're 8 in English. I mean,
I think they might be grading that on a curve. I'm just saying.
Yeah, especially these times. The thing that kind of, worries me, but going to school was more than just learning, right? It was a social thing. It's meeting your friends.
Absolutely.
It's all of that too, which I feel bad, especially for your son who's a senior.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To miss out on part of that, to me, it's like, I just feel bad for him.
Yeah, you know, he's put 6 years into football, both in middle school and high school.
He's a high school.
No, right, yeah. No. He's my son. No.
6 years of high school down the drain.
He was really looking forward to the senior football season, even though he's not planning on playing football in the college, but he was looking forward to that payoff that you get as a senior sports person, right? You know, you've earned that respect.
Absolutely. Ugh, tough. So,
even though this year back to school shopping is more about buying new pajama bottoms than it is buying jeans, probably.
Right.
For your school at home stuff.
Although he somehow found a way to spend $500 on back to school shopping. I have no idea how that happened. I'm like, damn.
I need a new computer.
Still, in this backtrack, we're going to look back at how the current normal compares to our Generation X experience. And many of the topics we just touched on, we're going to expand upon further down onto the show. Before we get into that, though, I have, of course, some fourth listener email. And our fourth listener,
your favorite part?
This episode, my favorite part, exactly. And our fourth listener email this episode comes from a Slow-Mo, one of our patrons. Hey, Slow-Mo, how you doing?
Hey.
The subject line was, Sigh. Ugh, George is right. How's that for a setup?
I can't tell you how much I love how that has become a thing. I mean, for me personally, it's
or how much George hates that that's become a thing.
I just can't wait to see the meme that develops from that phrase.
So Slow-Mo writes and says, so about the 70s one-hit wonders episode.
Here we go.
Find a 70s one-hit wonder that nearly everyone currently between the ages of 25 and 75 knows and sings. The song topping that list is Play That Funky Music.
Yes. Yay.
Woo-hoo. So yes, George is right.
Let's give George his moment here. Hold up.
Yeah, let him kind of bask in that.
Yeah, bask for a while.
Yeah, I'm pouring out a shot of Patron for my friend Slow-Mo as we go.
Okay, that's enough.
That's plenty. It's plenty.
That's plenty.
If you haven't drunk it, pour it out. Moving on. He goes on to say, a close second to that would be My Sharona, so at least y'all got that one.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
He threw us a bone there. Okay.
Yeah. You did somehow manage to forget about a third possible. Everybody knows that song and sings at least a few of the lyrics. Afternoon Delight. Thank you, Ron Burgundy.
I think he purposely avoided that one.
It was on our list. It just didn't make the top 10. I didn't avoid it. It was just...
I kind of did a little bit because I was like, oh, do I really want to talk about that song?
Is this now third or fourth person written in who'd said Afternoon Delight? Should have made the list.
I was gonna say, we've at least had two or three. Yeah,
that's
so
true.
Maybe
that's
we
true.
Were off on that one. So many people, so many listeners. Yeah, he wraps up by saying, love these list episodes. When listening, I want so badly to interact with you right at that moment, especially when George is right. Fourthly, yours, Slow-Mo.
Way to go, Slow-Mo. Stand up for the little man who's always oppressed and told he's wrong.
No, we never tell you
that's
you're
not
wrong.
You. Who are you talking about?
We just are always surprised when you're right. That's
you guys
all.
Are always beating me down, telling
we're
me how wrong
pleasantly surprised.
I am.
That's what it is.
Yeah, we're managing expectations.
We're managing expectations. Slow-Mo, thank you so much for writing in. We love it when the fourth listener writes. You want your email out on the show, just hit us up, podcast@genxgrownup.com, and we read every single one, and most make the show. All right, I am ready to jump into some educational edutainment on this back track.
Let's do it.
Let's do it right now.
Your Bi-Mart membership coupon book has everything you need for back to school, like Stansport brand Snow Creek Nylon Day Packs with coupon, only $8.97 each. Assorted Bi-Mart brand vitamins, $3.79 each with coupon. See store for selection.
Are you ready to go to school? Yeah, but can Sparky come?
Use your Bi-Mart membership coupons now and save.
Over the past few weeks, we've been trying out Factor Meals, and they're meals that come straight to your door. They deliver them to you in the mail. They drop on the front door in this freezer pack, and it's a great way to eat stress-free. And this spring, you can get delicious, ready-to-eat meals. They're fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved. And here's the cool thing, as we've all found out. You throw them in the microwave for 2 minutes, and they're ready to eat and not even requiring cleanup.
And if you can't find something on their menu that you like, then you're just way too picky.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have over 35 options. Mm. You know, they have things like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie, and we even tried the vegetarian one, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just the regular meals, but they've also got all these add-on packs, which I really love. These are things like, you know, breakfast or on-the-go lunches or little snacks, even like beverages that want to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So really, I mean, like they say on their site, what are you waiting for? And they're not kidding. You can get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals by heading over to Factor.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
Are you looking for good gourmet meals? Try the meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking.
We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for lowest carbon footprint meals.
So head to factormeals.com/GenX50 and use code GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code GenX50 at factormeals.com/GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Class is now in session. It is time to start talking about our Gen X educational experience. Now, at one point, I think I even in the notes wrote public school experience. But George, you didn't go to public school. You private school most of your education, right?
Yeah. Yep. That's true. Absolutely. Yep.
And I grew up also here in Florida. Mo, your education mostly was in New York, I believe,
yep,
right?
Yep. All New York.
Most of your school years.
So I was a mix of private and public.
So we're talking about some disparate experiences. It's kind of a cross section of different experiences we had, public, private, the North and the South. And so we're going to start by kicking off talking about a lot of the things, the ways that we learned and what things we learned, which often don't map directly to what happens today in schools.
Yeah, that's true. For sure.
But the top of the list for me is music and art stuff.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, it was tightly integrated into class. I mean, my teacher who taught me English and math also taught me finger painting and pottery and stuff like that. Now, arts and music haven't gone away, but they've certainly become, I think, more compartmentalized in modern education. You go and do that as an elective if there's a budget for it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's the sad thing. It's just like, it seems like because of money and other reasons, like those are the first things to go.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I still think that that's important just for a well-rounded person, just to know something about these
things. They're deemed as non-essential by the people making the decisions. I don't personally agree with that. I'm with Mo.
I think either. Yeah.
They are essential to giving somebody a base from which to grow in life. And that's really what education should do. This is going to end up being a soapbox episode for me, but
no, yeah, you're right.
You're getting to the fact, the difference between, is it meeting certain tick box criteria or is it preparing you for life?
It's the same thing you guys always mess with me about whenever we're doing our stuff where I looked forward to something last week and then I talk about it the next week, checking boxes. That's really what education feels like today. And I'm not blaming this on the teachers at all.
No.
I know the teachers are working as best they can within the system that is provided for them to
use. Absolutely.
But the system, I think, is where it's flawed. And I think that it was a little bit less flawed back in our day, only because, like John, you mentioned, these things were a little bit more integrated. They were a little bit more woven together. And I think that music and arts is the best example of that. Now, we didn't have a music or an arts class in any of the schools that I attended because, like you mentioned, John, I went to private, very small schools. But we did have music and art in the regular classes like you did. My mother still has those stupid little pottery things that I made in the second grade sitting up on a mantle somewhere in her house, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I still have stack them somewhere around my mom's house. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, George. I think, and how else are kids going to even discover that, hey, you know, I have a love for this or I have a talent for this without these little
right. Even if you don't become a musician or an artist, at least
an appreciation.
Now, one, you might discover, oh my goodness, I have a natural aptitude for pencil sketching or whatever that you might not have known otherwise. But it's to have an understanding of people who do excel at that. And you go, oh, I understand the basic concept of art and some music theory. Everything is just not all auto-tuned and, you know, a bass line. It's really there's more to music than that. And if you're not exposed to that, you don't know what else is out there. It's, you know, I think that's kind of to the point.
Yeah.
Do you think too, that the ways that we learned about our government have changed fundamentally from then till now? Because all we really had to learn about the government were our parents, the news, which we never wanted to watch, and the books that we got in civics class or
it
US
was just
geography
civics.
Or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
Right.
Civics. Yeah.
Yep.
Now my children, they have used the internet and they have YouTube channels that talk about these socially political issues. I feel like they actually are getting a better education about what government really is versus what we did back then, which was, I think, very, I hate to use this term, whitewashed.
Well, for better or worse, I think kids today can't avoid it because it permeates all of social media. And so therefore, schools almost have to address all those things. Maybe they wouldn't have before. They're like, well, they'll learn that later. Well, but now you're growing up, you know about everything that's going on everywhere in the world.
But I think something that we learned, which I think is a little lacking today, is that there are some fundamentals that we learned in school about the government.
Oh,
we learned about the three branches and what they're supposed to do. Now, granted, the reality is different.
Right.
I almost feel like kids today skip that and they go right into current events. I mean, I could be wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it feels.
We, you know, we had to learn about the Constitution. We had to memorize the preamble.
What about checks and balances? What about the three branches
Said?
Yeah.
I know that my kids still struggle with understanding the difference between the House and the Senate and what Congress really means.
I think that's because they had to fast forward into current events. They didn't start with, okay, ignore what's happening today. Let's talk about what the foundation is. And we might not have done that.
And it's like, I think that's going to be something that's going to permeate a lot of this stuff is the foundation knowledge.
Yeah.
It seems to be different today than it was back when we were younger.
Yep.
Because another example of that is the multiplication tables.
Well, right. Don't kids still learn those? No.
Not the way that we did.
Not the way we did.
Remember how we did it? One times one is one. One times two is two.
Two. Well, yeah.
And you would write that all down, right? You would write down all your times tables up to 12, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Was the limit. If you went past 12, forget it. I'm not going to learn it.
You were over
calculator time.
Now, no, they don't do that that same way. I remember we had to answer the questions, and I'll never forget what 7 times 8 is because I missed it when that question was asked to me in class. And the teacher made me write 7 times 8, both times tables, the 7s and the 8s, 10 times each.
You'll remember now, George.
56, motherfucker. I'm telling you, I will never forget 7 times 8.
I mean, I remember when my kids were learning math. This is like second and third grade. I'm sitting there watching my son do it. Like, I was helping with his homework. He had something similar, like 7 times 8, right? And he's doing all these little tick marks on the side of his paper.
Yes, like, I saw. Is that what that's
like,
about?
Yeah. What are you doing? Like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, well, you know, 7 times 8, you do 7 rows and 8 columns. And then he counted them.
Why don't you just say it's 56? Just say that.
And to me, it's like, and I asked the teacher about this because I said, this just seems stupid. You know, I'm sorry. And he's like, oh, well, we want the kids to figure things out on their own and come up with it. I'm like, wait a minute. I said, you know how much time my son would save on his homework if he just knew it?
If he just memorized the answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't like the rote method. That became like obsolete in the 90s, it feels like. People started saying that's just counterproductive. Well, if it's counterproductive, how in the hell am I 50 years old and know 7 times 8 equals 56, son of a bitch? Tell me that. I didn't move little blocks left and right or anything like that. Somebody said 7 times 8 is 56. That's what it is. And that math especially bothers me because at the base levels, what something is what it is, and you just need to accept it. There's no why is it that way. There's no how is it that way. There's no arguing about it. 2 times 2 is 4. Shut the hell up. That's it.
As long as you understand why it is 4, that's all you need. Right? Mm-hmm.
Certainly, I think each of us have watched a millennial cashier try to make us change. Right?
Oh, Jesus Christ. My God.
And
I'm sorry.
God help them if that cash register's display is broken. They'll just give you the whole cash drawer.
Yeah.
They don't care.
How much do you deserve? I'll just count it out. Just take what you think you deserve.
Yeah. I had somebody who was like, I think my bill was like $16.10 or something. And I gave him $21.10. And I thought her head was going to explode.
You were being helpful. You were making it easier on them.
She literally stared at me because she couldn't figure out why I was giving her that amount of money.
Why'd you throw a dime at me, old man?
Yeah. And why'd you give me an extra dollar? Why'd you give me $21?
You guys need to stop this method of discussion because I'm going to go into the whole grocery store business and we're going to shy away from because it bothers me to no end that these people, when they're at the gas registers, don't know how to count it back properly. Either.
Right. Exactly.
I know. Yep. Yeah. Right.
Okay, that
makes
topic,
10,
right?
12, 13 makes 20. Right. Exactly. I know.
Oh, God.
And but memorizing stuff, I remember having to memorize the state capitals.
Yeah.
We were just talking about the multiplication tables.
I never did get that one.
I did get that one.
I could get like 20 of them.
Maybe fifth
them
or sixth
all.
Grade. I had a civics class. And the final exam, half of your grade or quarter of your grade was literally 100 questions. They gave you a map with numbered outlines of the United States.
Uh-huh.
First 50 questions were the name of the states. The second 50 were the name of the capitals. That was it. Like a blank piece of paper and a blank map.
I got one.
And that was
too.
My final exam. So I had to sit down and memorize that thing.
I would have gotten like a 72.
That's why I know the capital of New Jersey is Trenton. Why do I know that? Because New Jersey is shaped like a sock. And if you hang a sock on your tent to dry when you're camping, so Trenton sounds like tent.
What the hell?
I had to use mnemonic devices, but by golly, I still know like all these states and capitals years later because I had to memorize. Otherwise, you never will know those
things. I tell you, John, I know the capital of Wisconsin is Madison.
That's
because
right.
Because Wisconsin is a W and upside down W
upside
is an
down
M.
Is, yeah.
And M is Madison. I'll be in my deathbed. Can't remember my children's names.
You still
names,
know that.
But I'll still know that.
We did civics. We're doing math. There's still long division.
Yeah.
I mean, my kids don't do that anymore. And you know, honestly, I'm not mad about that because I never understood, and I still don't understand the reason for clinging to old methods when they've been made obsolete by things that we have readily accepted are always accurate. And calculators are always accurate. So I understand some people feel like you have to do long division in order to understand how numbers go into other numbers, but I'm not convinced of that. In real life, they're 99999999. going to be using a computer or their phone or a calculator or something to do the math.
I think there's a value to understanding how it works. Now, I agree. I don't think giving somebody, forcing them to do like 1,000 long division problems is necessarily good.
Yeah.
But to say that, okay, look, if I give you a long division problem, you should be able to figure it out on your own.
I'll grant you that.
Well, because at some point you might not have your phone. It could happen. There could be a time when you
I'm not going to have a pencil and paper either. Just saying.
Well, you could be stranded on a desert island and you have a stick of sand.
I'm going to be doing long division on the desert island I'm stranded on.
That's what,
two coconuts into 27 coconuts goes.
No, Tom Hanks did that math on the cave wall with the bird stick.
That's right.
He figured out the search area and that they'd never
find
him.
Before he busted out his tooth with the ice skate. That's right. Yeah, exactly. All those things happen. You need no dental surgery. All those things are useful to have on a
desert. I think dental surgery is a bit far off from long division math. I'm just saying. That seems more college level course than it does elementary school.
You must have missed that in third grade in private school. Have. We did dental surgery. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we didn't have the funds that you did, apparently.
Well, so let's pull the jock here and talk a little bit about PE and how that has. Yeah.
Favorite
there
class.
Are things in PE. I mean, first of all, I don't think they're playing a lot of Red Rover anymore in PE classes. When you run at top speed at people.
You know, actually, at the elementary level, though, my son did that. Yeah.
Did he?
Like in elementary school. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I always figured they'd be the first to go because it was basically run at top speed into someone else and see if you can bust their hands apart. But
yeah, they were still tackling each other and doing all that kind of stuff. I mean,
that's good.
That's when they're young, small kids, though.
Right. You know, they're like pretty much like just
first
bounce
through
off each
third
other.
Grade. Once they get big enough, they can, you know, things break. They no longer bend. So they stop.
So do
doing
you still
that
get to bean the hell out of somebody in the head with a dodgeball? Is that still a thing in public school?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
Good on you, kids. You haven't given up on the old school ways.
I think that's going to be around for a while because they even made a movie for it. So teachers are like, hey, it's in film. We might as well put it in the classroom.
Isn't that just a great excuse to hit somebody with a ball as hard as you can, though?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. The thing that got me, though, about how PE is different back when I was younger to today, it's like one PE was like a requirement, right? You had PE.
Yes.
Everybody had to do it.
Yeah.
My kids today, they have it, but not really. It's like, oh yeah, we have PE and we just walked around the track all period. And I'm like, what?
What?
That's true. Yeah.
What is that? Outdoor study hall? What is that?
It's like, you know, just chalk
it's
with their friends.
It's basically just free social hour.
That's all it is. It's not like the organized, you know, we had to do things like we played kickball. We played this. Like every day there was a lesson plan for our PE that we did certain things.
You know, some of that too has happened because of the specialization of coaching. Coaches now, even in high school, they are already being groomed and recruited for the upper levels of coaching at that point. So they specialize in just that sport. Back when we were going there, your football coach was also your PE teacher. And because he was your PE teacher and your football coach, he was used to doing drills and activities and things like that. So that's how he structured the PE class.
And so now you have a specialized coach who is not the PE teacher. And so
and now the PE teacher is likely like the English teacher who doesn't have something that period.
It's very segmented. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I never thought of that. Yeah.
Okay.
So, George, how did it go with you getting when it was time to pick teams? You were probably the team captain. They said, George, you're going to be a captain.
Or the first pick.
Sometimes I was the captain. Sometimes I was the first or second picked. It just depended upon, you know, what we were doing that day. But it was always a lot of fun. I can see where for a lot of the kids, I didn't see it then, of course. You know, you're a young kid. You don't pick up on
that
thing.
Yeah, of course.
But now I can understand how fearful, how scary that could be for a young person who's not sure of themselves yet of their place in the world and in that society at school.
It is. Picking teams is let's see where you rank socially. Go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the only people that don't get ranked are who gets picked as captains because they have the power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's a ranking in and of itself, though.
I mean, right. I was always the dorky nerd in school, and I was always among – it depends on what you're playing now, right? Red Rover, we want John. He's a big, clumsy nerd who can run over some fools.
He's Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah. Right.
He's going to wreck it.
If we're playing something with finesse, no. You know, it's me and the poor kid with asthma waiting for last pick.
No, John, actually, I was never like the last person picked, but I was like second or third to last.
Mm-hmm.
I was not like the worst one to pick, but I was like close to the end. They're like, okay, I guess Mo, you know.
When I was picking, it was always dependent upon what activity we were going to play, what sport we were going to play. If we were doing football, John's my number one pick.
Yep.
Yeah.
Get a lineman.
Because I can sit behind him and nobody can touch me. But if we're playing basketball, Okay, you might be riding the bench a little bit there, John.
In my neighborhood, we had the same thing. Like, we played the schoolyard, although it was a neighborhood schoolyard, picking teams, and my brother was one of the captains, right? And it got down to the last two people, and of course it was me, because I'm usually last or second to last, okay. And this other kid who was actually really good at basketball, and my brother picked me.
Wow,
and
loyalty.
And the kid's like, hey, what the hell? I'm better than Maurice. And my brother's like, yeah, but you're not my brother.
Nice.
And after it says it, I was like, wow. Of course, I sucked anyway, but...
But he had your back.
I remember doing that a couple of times with some of my friends who were more into D&D and computers than they were into sports, but we all had to participate.
You want to win or fail with those people sometimes. It's not
sometimes
just about...
Sometimes you pick them and, you know, you kind of put them in a position to be sheltered from the real action, but they could still participate.
Yeah.
So...
You're right field, you know?
You're going to play left center, which is like in between the left field and the center guy.
Who are both good, so they could cover for you.
Right.
They got you covered. Yep.
Did you guys have recess? Just like open free time to play?
Early on? Like when it was when I was in like elementary school?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, elementary school. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Recess, you had to be doing something. Like that was kind of like the teachers and stuff were out there, but they were like, okay, you guys can't be hanging out on the side doing nothing. You got to be doing something.
So short of elementary school, I'm guessing that recess is probably not a thing anymore because everything needs to be structured these days, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like there needs to be, what's the purpose of this? What's the guideline? What's the metric we're meeting with this kind of course? And that's, right, recess is very much unstructured play, right? It's like, just go do, you're like, do something, don't do nothing, but just go make up your own game or play Foursquare or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Right? It was more of a recess for the teachers than it was for the kids.
Yeah.
It was
like, I'm sure that's
this
the part
of that's
true.
This is the time I need to decompress a little bit.
Yep.
You kids go outside.
Yeah, because I definitely remember like the teachers would always hang out together and talk during recess.
Mm-hmm.
They were hardly paying attention to us, really.
That's right. Just make sure none of them die and we've done our job.
Oh, did you break your arm, little Jimmy? Sorry about that. We'll get you afterwards.
Yes, go to the school nurse.
Well, we get done with PE and come back inside. There were a few other things that I think we're going to get into some areas of things that we absolutely don't have anymore. And the first one for me, I hate that this is dying, is cursive writing. Long-form script
writing.
And I have
mixed feelings about that. I really do.
I kind of do too, Mo. Yeah.
I get that it isn't needed. I'm using air quotes, needed, but it's also, there is no more personal way to communicate with someone than take a pen to a piece of paper. And I mean, I think people that can't write it probably can't read it. Most kids probably can't read the original Constitution because
it's written in cursive.
First, it's Old English.
Right.
And if you can't read the script in the first place, you're not even going to be able to understand what are these flowing scribbles.
Yeah.
See, I was never convinced that we needed it in the first place.
Hmm.
Even in school when, you know, in the 70s and 80s when I was in school, I was never convinced that cursive was necessary, and I'll tell you why. It was only a social construct that gave it importance. It has no different physical value or properties than block writing.
Well,
they're just two different forms of writing. One's prettier, maybe.
But cursive, you never have to lift your pen. So it's
right, cursive
faster.
Is faster is the whole point, is that you can make an entire word without having to lift your pen.
Yeah, but that was not true for me. I'll say that much.
No, and I think it's, what the difference is between those, you know, who knows, right?
I mean, if it was faster for me, you weren't reading it. I'll tell you that much, because my handwriting is terrible. And especially now, as we've gotten more into the age of digital and paperless society and everything, you're right, John. Yes, it's very personal, and it's maybe unsurpassed in that area, but I don't know. I think
I get it. I understand. I just don't like that.
I get it too.
It's kind of like radio dramas. I love them, but there's not a place for them that much anymore. Although we're
podcast.
Doing a podcast.
That's the thing. I think that that's the point. I think we don't need it, but I hate that it's dying. It's still a thing that we should preserve in some, almost like, okay, we should do a segment on cursive. Maybe you don't all learn to write it, but you understand the concepts and you do some practice. And you go, we don't need that, but we get it. It's having a foundational knowledge.
You can read it at least, right?
Not only are they not teaching it, they're actively saying don't use it in school now, at least with my son.
I mean, there's no prettier writing, though, than somebody, especially, you know, the people with like the fountain pens and writing in cursive.
Well, they're like calligraphy. That's like super cursive, right?
Well, it's like super cursive. Yeah, exactly. But, Jordan, I do see your point, though. And maybe they don't need to learn how to do it practically, but they should learn it so they at least can read it.
You know, speaking of having like a foundational knowledge, I don't know if you guys had these, but there are a couple of specific lessons I remember having that I think are totally gone from school. So the first one that I vividly remember is we had a course in how to write checks and balance a checkbook.
Oh,
you're talking about like practical life skills.
A real life skill. Yeah. I remember they took us all to the library. They had the big charts of like a check. It looks like somebody won the Publisher's Clearinghouse. Here's the check number.
Yeah,
it's a big board, right? And there, here's where you sign, here's where you print this, and that kind of thing. And you were learning how, when you get out in the real world, you have to do this thing. It's not going to be the first time. It was like when you learned how to like read the hands of a clock or something. It was like, here's a thing you're going to encounter your entire life. Well, until checks go away, as they've done now,
right.
And you'll need.
Yeah, actually, that reminds me, because now, is that something that's still needed today? That's my question.
Well, it's not needed today as much because people aren't really writing checks that often.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Now.
But they should understand how to balance their account, which I know that's done automatically.
That's
but
true. That you still need to do.
Yeah. And that, you know, John, you're right. Those practical classes that we used to have, the home ec, just those practical life lessons, we've never developed those well as a society. And that's one of the reasons why, Mo, I think we're ninth or whatever you said on that list, because other societies do that. They teach you how to do the things you'll need to do in life to be productive or successful or whatever the thing is that they're teaching. We don't do that in this country. It's all,
I know.
Here's some math, here's some English, here's some science.
But we used
to. You've met all our requirements.
My point, we used to. The other one, the example that I had was, I remember another like segment, like we spent two or three days on it. We learned how to hold a phone call conversation. Now that sounds weird, but
oh yeah, we didn't have
we
that
had
one.
Practice phones, right? It's just not plugged into anything. And you say, okay, call someone. And you're like, hello, hello, is this such and such? May I speak to this person? I'm sorry, that person is not here. May I take a message? Like all that kind of like social interaction on the phone, we learned that in a class. Now, Grant, as you said, George, maybe not everyone did that, but I couldn't have been alone. I mean, they were literally teaching some life skill things because they probably didn't have the mandated government criteria that, you know, every yeah. child left behind and all that, which not saying they're bad things, but there's some stuff that gets left behind in the wake of that, I believe.
Actually, I didn't learn the phone call one, but I did learn how to address an envelope.
Yep. Similar things. Yep. Real life practical skills.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, there's no question in that we were learning things back then that they're not teaching now. So we're definitely old.
We are old. Unavoidably true.
The McDonald's on-the-go Happy Meal for your kids. It comes with the McDonald's foods they like the best, but the good times don't stop there. Kids get a vinyl bag or sturdy plastic box. Kids can take them anywhere, all around the clock, or they can take them to a party. Yeah, carry stuff to school. Or they can take things anywhere and look real cool.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On Press Box Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on Press Box Access.
You know, one of the interesting things, I mean, you talked about the stuff we learned,
yep.
right, is how the actual tools have changed that the
gear.
Teachers
yeah.
that we had okay. available to us.
Sure.
And the first one that pops in my head, which is totally different today than when we were kids, was I was totally devoted to the library.
Your school library?
Yeah. We did the whole goddamn library. Podcast on the Dewey Decimal System because of you.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And that was one thing I learned in school was how to find a book in the library,
yeah.
the card catalog and find it, because that was the only way of finding information. Right.
Right? The pre-internet. The library was the reference. You had your encyclopedias in there.
Right.
You had reference material. You had fiction, nonfiction, and all the different zones. Yeah.
You know, as I got higher, like high school and stuff, we have to write a paper on Vasco da Gama, whatever, right?
Right.
I had to go to the library, look up books on him, and try to come up with a report, try to find information. And the thing I think it helped because you were forced to find different sources, right? Because one book never had enough of what
yep.
you needed. And it also, I think it did teach us to like kind of look at different sources and balance them, like saying, okay,
oh.
these two books say the same thing versus just going to one site and saying, oh, this must
oh,
be the truth.
I mean, here's one that doesn't agree. I should do some rational problem solving and thinking.
Right, just some rational thinking, which is different, you know. And granted, I think it's still something that's today, but I think we're just used to typing into the search, hitting the first search thing that comes back and kind of assuming that's the right one.
Maybe, yeah. Well, you know, on the topic
of
books, I mean, I don't know how it is now, but there was a when you got your textbooks at the beginning of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Often, private school may be different, George, but we had textbooks that were 10, 15 years old that they didn't buy new ones for a long time.
Oh, easily.
And so there was history of students. Somebody's big brother had this book.
Yep.
Right.
And you could look and see in notes in the margins of who had them before you.
Because I went to schools that my brothers went to ahead
yeah,
of me.
So, you didn't
so I used to trade other kids. I'm like, oh, you got my brother. Let me trade. You know, get his textbooks. I wanted to have the book my brother had.
Yeah. I mean, that was a thing in private schools as well. We maybe even more so because private schools often didn't spend the money that was given to them for tuition on books. They often just spent it on themselves for their own different salary requirements or whatever. So we got like 20-year-old books most of the time. And they were, the spines were cracking on them. I remember the one elementary through middle school private school that I went to, most of those books came from donations from public schools, believe it or not.
Oh, so, my goodness.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we had some really old
stuff. So you had the ones they didn't even want anymore.
So
we learned about the war of Northern aggression.
Right.
And that's where it
just happened last year.
And now you're current. Well, so, Bo, you were talking about how the internet has really permeated how you do research for research papers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder about, so a big part of the ritual of school for me, going back to school shopping, and there's all that gear that you get. Pencils, retractable pens and
that
stuff.
That was a fun part for me, though. I love that part.
How much of that is just done on tablets now? How much do you, what about the smell of sharpening a pencil and the smell of that stubby eraser? Is that still even a thing?
I think it is for the younger kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is slowly siphoning down the pipe. So kids in high school now, that's not as nearly as big. My son takes a tablet to class and most of his books are on the tablet. He does have to use pens and pencils to write down documents, you know, sign his papers and all that kind of stuff. But I think that it is slowly moving down the chain to where even I've seen some elementary schools now that are handing out tablets to kids as part of the curriculum instead of books.
Wow.
I think there's a practical side to that I think is kind of cool in a sense that sometimes you got a new textbook, especially when you get to like college level, but for no reason other than they want to make you spend more money. You know?
Oh, yeah. It's a whole industry. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, it's like writing on paper. I don't know. I maybe this is maybe an age thing where I just kind of see that as a more personal thing than typing into a tablet.
And I guess logistically, it's not, again, like cursive, it's not necessary. I can get the information to you digitally. That's cool. But you're missing out on some of the, like, okay, how much did we all love our Trapper Keepers? Those of us who had Trapper Keepers. Sorry, Mo.
Yes. Yeah. Love my Trapper Keepers.
I know you weren't. Yeah, that's a sore subject for you. I know. But
if, talk about
if you don't have a preponderance of paperwork and notes and things like that that you have to organize, then you miss out on some of the cool things that came out of it, like memories of the Trapper Keeper or the trappers themselves, the different colors and what patterns were on them. If you don't have a need for that. So, for example, having school supplies, when I was in elementary school, we had a school store, right? So you could go to the office and you took people's orders and you go, I want pencils. Yep. Pencils are a dime and, you know, a notepad is 30 cents or whatever. And erasers, just those little like erasers you put on the end of a pencil was a nickel.
Right. Whenever your pencil's eraser was rubbed
down.
That's
right.
Because that happened all the time.
And the thing is, it was shaped like a little wedge. It kind of looked like a little spaceship. Mm-hmm. And they're all different colors. And I found out that you could get 20 of those for a dollar.
Thus began his collecting career.
So when it was time for the school store, I had a probably just an ocean of those little spaceship-shaped erasers in my desk. Because every time I had a dollar, I would buy 20 of them. And I'd make little space battles on my paper, on my notebook, on the back of them. And I'd draw lasers coming out of them. Or I would draw with pencils. You know how well you can draw with a pencil on an eraser, how it picks up that lead so well, and you can draw a cockpit on top of it. It was beautiful. And if you don't need those erasers, you miss all of that.
I wasn't sure what word you were saying there.
Yeah, I finished the word. Yes, I did.
Yes, he did. But no, and to me also, that was a fun part. I look forward
to
is going out buying school supplies.
Tactile stuff.
Yeah, like getting the protractors. And
you know, it was fun for us because it's what we grew up with. My kids grew up with different things, and those are the things that they reminisce on now, the ones that are out of school. One of the things that I loved when I was in high school that is not a thing apparently as much now was signing a yearbook.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do they anymore?
No, they get a yearbook.
Because they don't have pens.
My son has four yearbooks and not a single signature in any of them.
That's terrible.
Yep.
That's like the thing to do.
No, it's not. And you know why?
Okay, it was the thing to do.
They have WhatsApp and they have Twitter and they have all these other things that they socially interact with. The yearbook was our Twitter.
They don't need this repository of communication to, you know, snapshot of stuff. They can just look in their history. I see.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Because the thing is, I guess, like, you look at my yearbook, that's like I mean, I signed my yearbook thinking that this may be my last communication with this person.
Right. Yeah.
See, I just looked at it and see which girl could I have dated.
Well, that's it.
Oh, she thought I was cute. Why didn't she tell me? Why didn't she tell me 2 years ago? None. Damn it.
Right.
Oh, no, I think you're absolutely right, though. That's interesting. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, yearbooks were, I still have my yearbook somewhere.
Yeah, me too.
So there's a lot of other equipment out there that we used prolifically, but it's obsolete now. Think about chalkboards.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's not only obsolete, it was probably borderline dangerous breathing in all that damn chalk dust when you had to smack those erasers together because you did something wrong in school.
But it smelled so good.
Yeah. Well, until you developed lung disease.
Like, we'd have students who would the teachers would have them come in and clean the blackboards, like, with a sponge to really get it clean. Wasn't
voluntary. I volunteered. I was a little kiss ass. I enjoyed that. It wasn't, I liked the way the chalk smelled.
For me, that was, I liked that was doing punishment. It. That was detention.
No, I loved it.
Now, one thing I did love were those mimeographs, that ink that you would, you know, you take the paper and wheel it around.
The purplish blue color.
Like, we got to make those for the teachers, you know, got to make it. They just didn't want to do it. But that ink that was on those things,
that should have been illegal.
Holy hell, that would get you so high.
Yeah. That was,
I think it was alcohol based, so it would evaporate quickly. And then when you, it was the purple ink, right? That you first got, it might have been a little smudgy, and you get that stack, and then you got to.
My memory of those is like the teacher handing out like a test paper or something.
Right.
And you got the one that didn't, like, it was toward the end of the run. Yeah, and so you couldn't read all of it.
The tumbler was running out of toner.
We should say what mimeograph was. That was what copiers were before there were copiers.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was like a fast printing press. It was just this wheel that would spin around real quick as you spun
it. You had to make a master that looked like a photocopy sheet. Like, you had to press hard to make a master.
Right.
And then you wrapped it on this tumbler that had toner in it, like a copier. And it would, as it pulled paper through, it would transfer ink through the tumbler on that master down to the sheets.
And spit the papers out the other side. Right.
Yep. Do you guys have Scantron tests? I mean, I guess they still do it today, but they still do them. Scantron tests. Yeah, we hit, fill in the bubble, that kind of thing.
The difference is Scantron is a brand name. Initially, it was fill in the bubble, but it wasn't for a computer to go beep, 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 beep and scan. Mm-hmm. Somebody had a hole punch sheet that went over top of that, and you looked for where the bubbles were filled
in. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, that was the answer key, was this punched out hole.
Right. And then later, Scantron was a company that came out.
Now it's just all on a Google form.
Yeah, just click, click, click. Yep.
But I had teachers that were really big into the overhead projectors.
Yes, yep.
Where they had like the transparency and the markers, and they'd sit there, and invariably the bulb would burn out right in the middle, and the teacher would get really pissed off because then they had to
write it
up.
Best one was when that glass would crack.
And I think it got hot as hell, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we still have projectors, obviously, but it's hooked up to a computer.
Right.
The thing about overhead projectors, through college, I continue to do this because I had professors that use overhead projectors. We would play pranks. We would get little like transparency things and draw things and stick them on some of the lenses. So, why is that bug in it? Like a little, there's a fly in the corner and it's actually stuck somewhere. He doesn't know where it's at because it's up on the top part of it or something. Or you could put your face, so you can lay your face on it.
I'm sure those were the only two things people ever put on those.
Yes, only those two things.
So, George, this explains a lot about John, actually.
It's quite an expose, isn't it? Yeah. Well, and calculators were pretty new for us. And so you mentioned earlier, I think, George or Mo, I forget who was saying it, that, you know, now calculators are absolutely, you're going to have a calculator all the time.
Yeah.
But then it was like, well, are you going to have calculators? Because it was relatively new. I remember I had the red LED calculator that only had 8 digits on it.
Yeah.
Had a 9-volt battery and it looked like a brick. And they're like, well, you can't use those for tests because why? We're not learning how long division works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, the only time I was able to use a calculator is when I got to higher math in high school.
That was like for sine, cosine,
graphing, calculators and stuff.
Yeah, like trigonometry and stuff.
And the worst is I had this math teacher that her answers never worked out to be round numbers.
So you never know.
Did you
get it wrong,
right?
Or is it really supposed to be a not round number?
Yeah. So is the answer 37.241? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, you know,
why'd you do that to me?
You talk about how they were allowed or not allowed. Even in my high school class, the math teacher I had, he was so tough. They were not allowed even for trig, pre-calc, any of that stuff, because he had all of those things memorized.
Yeah.
He had the sine, the cosine, and the tangent tables memorized from numbers 1 through 100.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's hardcore.
The man was just psychotic with that stuff. And he assumed that every human being on the planet had that same ability, so therefore we were not allowed to use calculators.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not special, so you must be able to.
He wanted you to learn that same skill, whether you need it or not.
Absolutely.
I loved school. And just so we could get in more homework, we used to have our teachers write a note to our mothers to excuse us from watching TV. And no one headed back to school before they visited Payless.
Get the look you want for back to school with the Windmere Crimper or Waver, just $9.99 each. For quality recordings, pick up Memorex VHS video cassettes, pack of three, just $8.99.
Well, hey, podcast listener, my name is Vince, and I'm the host of a show called The RR Show. It stands for Reddit Readings. We're going to sit down twice a week, and I'm going to bring you the most entertaining stories from all of the best subreddits that exist online. Things like malicious compliance, petty revenge, hey, lady, I don't work here. Oh, there's so much more. Lots of great stories and things you won't believe. Like the one time this dude was caught in a bathroom with his friend and he was slapping them because that was the only way that he could actually legitimately help them. A mall cop comes in with a taser. Oh, yeah. The rest is history. It's going to be fun. There is, I don't know. I got like 20 seconds left, so I don't got much more time to tell you another story. But just join me on The RR Show. It's from Evergreen Podcast, produced in partnership with Wessler Media. So The RR Show. Wherever you get podcasts, subscribe today. And it's like an adult story time. Let's hang out together. The RR Show. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, we talked about teachers and teaching methods and classes that we have. We also talked about tools and everything. But there was a lot of stuff that doesn't really fit into any of those categories. And it was still an important part of school society. John, I'm just going to start this list off with one of your all-time favorites, the Scholastic Book Fair.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what
too.
It is about that thing.
Yeah.
It's like crack to John Reddick.
It's fantastic.
Well, the Scholastic Book Fair was just, it was not school. It was like a taste of, you know, being an adult. It was, I'm shopping and they bring the stuff to me. And it was just the fact that you would get other stuff, puzzles and, you know, mystery books and Mad Libs and stuff. All that would be at my school book fair.
Yeah, I used to love those things. Oh my God.
I mean, Scholastic is still around as a company, but I don't even know if schools even do that anymore. I guess you can order online, so who cares? Maybe.
Very young, like I remember my youngest son, they did have Scholastic Book Fair in his elementary school for several years.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's still happening now because that was like 8 years ago, but.
Right.
Yeah.
For my kids as well. In elementary school, they had it. And that was also, they loved it because that was one of the few things I'd be like happy to spend money
right,
on.
Right. Yeah.
Like, here you go.
Yeah. Because it seems to be books. It's educational stuff. Yeah.
It seemed like it was educational, right?
Yeah. But even like the Goosebumps books, like my son got a lot of the Goosebumps books from there. And I'm like, that's still reading.
That's right. Sure. It's still reading. Yeah.
So I was totally for it.
Unlike Mad Libs, which is pretty much not reading.
No.
Yeah. Unfortunately, my son was more interested in the covers. So the reading part never really happened.
There's great art on this Dungeons and Dragons book. I'm going to hang it on the wall and never look at it again.
Yeah, exactly.
Do they still have the different gender specific electives like they used to? I don't know if that's so much.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, that's kind of a no-no now.
No. I did growing up, but
I mean, they
anymore.
Still have classes like shop.
Yeah.
That's still a class, but it's definitely a much more culturally integrated shop class.
Yeah. It used
now.
To be like home ec, wow. Only girls in home ec. And if a boy was home ec, you know, it was like, how did you get in this class? What's going on? Did you make
right.
a wrong turn? What's going on with you? Why are you not in this room?
No, now it's all the kids, you know, no matter, regardless of gender, everybody has the same opportunity. And
good.
They don't seem to ostracize each other for it a little bit, maybe on the home ec side. But one of my older sons, he took home ec in high school 2 years in a row, but it was, I think they renamed it to culinary arts or something like that.
Okay.
So it felt a little bit safer for him.
Safer, yeah.
But that's where he learned how to cook, and he's a pretty damn
good
cook.
That's one of those like actual applications to real life. Hey, you might want to know how to do laundry. When do I use bleach? Those kind of things. Because in the real world, when you get out there on your own and you're like, oh my God, mom's not here to do my laundry. Put a couple Tide Pods in that I didn't eat and throw those out.
Right. I had a thing in junior high school where we had two gym electives that you could choose, and one was basketball, and the other one was like, I'm trying to remember specifically, but it had something to do with dancing. I don't remember exactly what it was.
Ballroom dance or square dance?
So all the guys picked basketball,
okay,
and all the girls picked the dancing thing, and there wasn't any like boys had to go to this. It's just the way things worked out.
Seemed there was an opportunity for a boy to join dance and have access to all these girls.
I was going
to
say.
Well, here's what happened.
I know which class I would have joined.
The teacher who was teaching dance was pissed off that there's only women in there. So she went over to the basketball thing, looked at everyone lined up, said, this half is going to dance.
And just moved us?
Wow.
And just moved us. And took half of her class and said, you're going to basketball.
Wow.
And just switched us. And guess where I wound up?
Did you wind up and dance?
Yes, I did.
All right. Good on you, Mo.
Yeah. But we were just pissed.
Speaking of fitness. Awesome segue.
Did you guys have the presidential fitness challenge? challenge?
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Okay. Ronald Reagan Presidential Physicist Awards.
Yep.
I won like 12 of them damn things.
You gotta run the 440 and X number of sit-ups and pull-ups and all that stuff. You have a window of time you have to do it all in, too, I think, right?
Yeah, you had to like run a mile in like less than 8 minutes, yep. 10 minutes or something. Yep.
My favorite one was the blocks, where you had to go back and forth between the two blocks on the ground.
Pick them up and take them
back. You had to do it in a certain amount of time.
Like shuttle them, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love that one. That was so much fun.
They made us do like that mile run one. Now, I grew up in New York. My high school gym was tiny. I mean, really
small.
How
many laps around the gym was it?
18.
18 laps.
You were dizzy at the end because it was such a small circle that you were running.
17. 18. I made it.
Did you guys eat food in school? Did you actually have like your lunches?
No, I just starved until.
I mean, yes, did you bring it or did you just?
Well, did you bring lunch or did you eat their
hot
lunch?
That's what I meant to say. Yeah.
We've talked about this one. I had the big.
Oh, that's right.
Remember, his mom packed in pork chops and stuff.
Right. Yeah, he had the filet mignon and lobster tail. Yeah. And
no, I always bought lunch in school. I always did, and the best day was pizza day because you have that rectangular pizza that perfectly fits in the shape on the tray.
It's like it was made for that part of the tray.
It was.
Yep. You know they don't do that anymore.
What don't they do
now? They just get local fast food places to bring the food into them, and then they just upcharge it. That's it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. At least at my son's school.
Whoa.
Like, one day will be Chick-fil-A day, the next day will be Hungry Howie's day, and that's the only choice you get, along with some bags of chips and some
sodas.
You
either bring your lunch or you get fast food?
Yep. And it's not cheap fast food either.
Because they upcharge
it. A slice of Hungry Howie's, like the whole pizza at Hungry Howie's is like $6, right?
Yeah.
But a slice at his cafe, lunchroom, whatever the hell they want to call it, was like $4 for a slice.
What?
Yeah.
What? That is having great pizza.
No, it wasn't. Right.
We just said it was Papa John.
Yeah.
Holy cow. So, jeez.
Yeah, they don't do it that way anymore. At least at his school, they don't.
Well, can you get milk with your lunch still? It was weird to have milk with pizza every time.
If nothing else, you always buy milk,
no,
right? Or chocolate milk
if you're
lucky.
They have soda fountains now, so it's like Cokes and Sprites.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
Yeah, soda was like unheard of. The only time you ever had soda, like we weren't even allowed to bring soda in our own lunches. The only time we could is if we had a school trip and had to pack our own lunch.
Huh.
Then you could pack a soda. That was fine. But other than that, the school didn't even allow it.
Thus the invention of Capri Sun, which is the sugar-filled, non-carbonated drink that's just like a soda. Right.
Yeah.
God help you if you can figure out how to stab that straw through that bag.
Not stab your hand.
Yeah. You know, one thing I totally miss, though, as this is just how silly, is I remember in like kindergarten having like nap time.
I have that
now.
Put
your hand on your desk.
At the time, I didn't want to take a nap. But in hindsight, what was wrong with me? Like, yes, please. What time is nap time? I'm looking forward to that time of day. What about sitting Indian style? And they even called it sitting Indian style, which now, of course, that's culturally insensitive to say sitting Indian style, obviously.
I never understood why is that insensitive. I don't get that, to be honest. And, well, and maybe it's just my lack of awareness.
It's just using any culture as an adjective. It's stereotyping a bit. But the point is, I'm sitting down crossing my legs. Why they called it that, I don't know. But every teacher I ever had said that.
It's not whether the stereotype is positive or negative. It's the fact that it's a stereotype being applied to a group of individuals with a certain title.
I don't remember the last time that I sat with a group on the floor with my legs crossed for story time.
No.
Only if I'm in a hospital and something broke. That's the only way I'm
like,
doing that
I got there, but I'm not getting back up on my own.
Nope.
Shop Strauss Rites for back to school and the best buys around. 32-gallon garbage containers, now $9.97, only $7.97 after manufacturer's mail-in rebate. Handy stacking and utility baskets, just $0.59 to $0.97. Brighten your decor with lifelike blooms, $0.77 each today at Strauss Rites in your choice of 10 colorful varieties. And save 30% on any tier curtain in stock, including Anti-Am Country Prints and Decorator Solids. Start the school year right. Shop Strauss Rites.
My name is Cindy Burnett, and each week I interview at least two traditionally published authors on my podcast, Thoughts from a Page. We talk spoiler-free about their books, so you can listen whether you have read the book or not. And then we delve into things that you most likely won't hear about anywhere else. The importance of the cover design, why they included various aspects of the story, personal details about both the books and the authors' lives, and so much more. You can find the podcast on every major platform and learn more about it on my website, thoughtsfromapage.com. Thanks so much for checking it out.
All right. So we talked about a lot of mechanics and classes and all this sort of stuff. But an important part of school is the social stuff, right? I mean,
Well, as you said at the beginning, right?
Yeah. I mean, that was like a big key for all of us. It was more than just the lessons and the math and the history, all that stuff. I'm just thinking of like my biggest thing about going to school is just that was always how I saw certain people.
Well, yeah. Well, again,
it was like seeing my friends, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no Zoom back then. And so if they didn't live in your neighborhood, you're right. You only saw some of those people and they might be great friends, but you might might not get a chance to see them summertime. You only saw them at school.
Well, we used to call them, your parents would say, how are your school friends?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
true. That's right.
That's oh, not wow, a term now. About that. Now it's just, yeah, right. How are your friends? I mean, now it might be, how are your Facebook friends?
There's no reason to be disconnected any longer. So,
yeah.
So you still get the socialization, but you got the in-face socialization, whereas now maybe people kind of gravitate toward the digital, which is okay, but it's yeah. just not the same.
It's just different.
It's it
just
is.
Different,
it's a different right? skill set for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, you had friends in school and that was awesome. But one of the key aspects about school that I think, I don't know if it's the same feeling for the younger people today as it was for us back then, but going to school on your own, riding your bike to school, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or somehow being independent for a period of time
yeah.
outside of your parental or family unit, right?
Right.
That was a big growing experience for me. Now, I didn't live close enough to any of my schools to ride a bike, and I would have had to drive down a major highway to get there.
Okay.
But what my parents did do was, my mother, because she worked, she would drop me off at this little restaurant right near the school.
Where you went to get your prepared breakfast. I remember. Yes.
I would have my prepared yeah. breakfast every day. But from the moment she dropped me off until the moment I got in class, I felt like I was my own independent person, my own nation almost,
right.
where I could make decisions for myself. I didn't really make a lot of decisions, but I could. I was free.
Do you want wheat or rye toast with your eggs yeah. Benedict today, little Georgie.
Eggs Benedict.
But I think that independence was something that helped me to grow
sure.
oh, at yeah. an earlier age than
oh,
I
yeah,
think
absolutely.
Some kids get.
Oh, I fondly
days.
Remember riding a bicycle. Now, I actually, my primary residence was living out way, way, way in the woods away from school. But for a time, sometimes I would stay with my grandmother that was very close to my elementary school. And it was, I don't know, it was a mile or two away. It was, but I would ride my bike and you learn the streets and stuff. And yeah, you felt I could technically not go to school. I never did that. Never played hooky because I'm too chicken. But I could have. I was completely autonomous right. for that time. And it was a growing experience. It was something you learn how to yeah. be, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I was lucky enough that I could walk to school.
Sure. Yeah.
And I remember as a kid, just for the hell of it, walking down 13th Street instead of 12th Street just because yep. I could. It was a decision I could make on my own.
Because you're the boss. Yeah.
Yeah. And the same distance didn't really matter one way or the other. But, you know, it just gave me that little, like George was saying, is like that feeling of independence, like I'm in control of my own destiny.
Right.
That kind yeah. of thing.
Wait, another thing that has gone the way of the dodo, I bet you, due to the proliferation of digital communication, is passing notes. I mean, there's no secret note passing anymore. There's no need for that.
Oh, yeah.
There was a whole society built around how to fold them,
oh, yeah.
how to address them,
yep.
Ew,
how
yeah.
to sneak them past the teacher's eyes. And I was not good at any of it. I got my notes caught, confiscated, and read out loud to the class more than any kid in history. I still tell this story to this day. I'll never forget. I misspelled the word sorry to my middle school girlfriend.
I remember. You've told that story. Yeah.
Oh, no. And she ridiculed me yep. in front of everybody. Oh, my God. It was horrible.
You think that would teach you proper spelling and punctuation, but it just didn't.
I don't misspell that word anymore, just like I know
not,
8 times 7 is 56.
never.
I think it was junior high school, but somebody was passing a note. The teacher caught it, and apparently he was answering a D&D question for another kid.
Out of context.
So it was like describing like what this monster was. And so she read it aloud. Like it was something like, the dire wolf is the blah, 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 blah. She looked, read it, and after she finished reading it, she's like, this had to be one of the best notes I have ever seen. And the kids didn't get in trouble. She's like, yo, I'm gonna hold on to this one.
This is great. You really captured my imagination in this past note.
Really?
So did any of you guys get candy as a reward?
Maybe
at least in elementary school, I guess.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's not happening today.
Yeah, probably not.
Oh no. Too many allergies and
diabetics
and other health.
I was still getting candy in college.
What?
I had a professor who,
what?
If you sat in the front seat of any row, he handed you a candy bar at the beginning of class.
Actually, that's pretty
that's
good.
That's a class I would
just
take.
To get people to sit in the front.
Yeah.
Where you walk in where do you go? You go to the back so you can hide and sleep, right?
Right.
You sit in the front though. He always brought in just the right number, not for anybody else. If there's six seats, he brought like six Hershey bars and he walked across. Dunk, dunk, dunk. If only five seats were full, he passed out five. He was done. But yeah, it's an incentive.
Wow.
It works.
I'd go to that class right now.
Right, yeah.
The same truth. In college, there were times I'm like, man, that candy bar, yeah, it'd be
worth
would.
It. Yeah, it would. Yeah. You remember getting stickers as rewards for doing well on things? They'd put like stickers of favorite characters or even just random, just bees or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or sometimes you
put them on your random. Notebook.
Yeah,
or
you take them off your paper
cover
and save them.
I didn't have.
Sometimes they'd be the cool ones that you scratch them and you sniff them. They smell like grapes or strawberries.
Stick them on your lunchbox, yeah.
The puffy ones, remember those? Like they were vinyl. Oh,
jeez.
Mm-hmm. I still have a few of those.
Are you a trapper keeper?
It's a motivational reward. I don't know if you...
Don't make fun of my trapper keeper.
No.
I'll beat you in the head with that thing.
Oh, so what do kids in school get motivated with now? You can't get candy or stickers, probably. You get a Fortnite skin if you do well, or...
I mean, they don't really do that kind of... You know, reward system.
Like
really.
Reinforce.
At least my son's never talked about it.
Like little attaboys.
Really.
Yeah, I mean,
I can't think of my kids talk about it either.
Huh. Mm-hmm. That's too bad.
One thing that's kind of changed, and I don't know if this is good or bad, to be honest. I'd like to get your guys' opinion on it, is when there's a bully, you pretty much had to deal with it on your own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beat that ass or get your ass beat, one or the other.
Yeah, but today it's like, it's a whole thing, right?
I need an adult.
Well.
Which is fine to know you can go to an adult.
I think they're policing themselves a little bit more now in the last like 5 years or so. Mm-hmm. The kids are really shaming the bullies way more than they used to.
This is true. Yeah. It's become like a it's not a social good thing anymore to be the bully.
I think it's almost like a reward system a little bit, because the kid who's getting bullied, he'll be sitting there and there'll be a bunch of kids crowded around like it always was. And there's always a kid filming with a damn camera now, because you see these things on YouTube. Right. That's how you know they're happening. And then there's this one kid who comes in to stop the bully or something like that, and they always look at the damn camera. You know that was either a goddamn setup, or that kid was just waiting for that situation so he could get YouTube famous. That's all that is.
I'm standing up to the bully, see?
Yeah. The part of the bully played by Joey Williams. Back to the getting a candy as a treat. Remember, it used to be somebody's birthday and everybody would bring in something. You'd bring in your Rice Krispie treats or whatever from home.
We always had to do it where the birthday kid's parents brought in the stuff the other kids.
Oh. Yeah. That's what my school too was the same way. Like if it was someone's birthday, they would bring like a cupcakes or cookies or something.
Yeah. And you had to make sure you had enough for everybody in the class, which
of course
my class that they would have that in would be like in third or fourth period. Those cupcakes didn't make it that far. I'm just telling you. I was eating the hell out of them things in first and second period.
Wait a minute. Hold on, George. So first you had a 4-course breakfast at the local cafe.
I did not have 4 courses.
Let me finish.
Only 3,
then,
John. Let's not exaggerate here.
You had an
here.
Igloo cooler full of pork chops.
Yeah,
and you could not eat the birthday cupcakes between first and third period? Come on now.
Do you know how many calories you burn picking kids for basketball and PE class? That's a lot
Not
of
many.
Damn calories.
Not 17 cupcakes full.
Well, I didn't get fat until I got 40, so what does that tell you?
Oh. You know, probably one of the last things we'll talk about is that might not be the same, isn't the same, I don't even know if it exists at all, is hanging out after school, waiting on somebody. Because now you can you know, when class is over, you text somebody, come pick me up. But I know I used to spend, and actually look forward to, from when class gets out to when I got home, was more of that free time that I could do anything I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, my kids still do that right now.
Okay. So hanging out after school is still a good thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They have a lot of activities, of course, after school. So that's part of
structured
it.
Structured
stuff.
It's not
just, like he has football and things like that.
Okay.
But he still spends a little bit of time waiting to be picked up or, you know, whatever is going on for that day. Like maybe he gets out of school at 3:00 and he has a structured activity at 5:00. So he just stays at school during that time. And so that still happens.
Oh, good. Yeah. I think that's great, because it's time to kind of like, it's more of that socialization, that person-to-person stuff. And I know it was a time when I would, let me show you the new D&D character that I rolled, and are we going to get together this weekend? And you kind of meet up with your buddies who, again, are school friends. You might not see them otherwise, right?
That's what I was thinking, too, is like it was a time to hang out with your school friends that you can't do during the summer, right? That was your time
with
them.
Yeah, for sure.
It was like after school. So, yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
Here you are.
Oh.
Say, what is that thing?
It's my trapper for meat.
It sure is a lot neater than this.
Well, that's because it traps my papers in so they won't fall out. And I've got a trapper folder for each subject.
That's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. And the trapper keeper holds all my trappers. This flap even has a Velcro closure to keep everything inside.
Boy, I've got to get a trapper and get my act together.
If you do, I'll let you carry my books.
If there was anything in this show you'd like to learn more about, the show notes which accompany each episode are full of links to click and explore. Catch up on past episodes and get pinged every time a new one's released by subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts. And you know, iTunes reviews help more than you know, so if you haven't yet, please rate and review us in the iTunes app. And if you have a friend who isn't yet listening, why not? Tell them about us, they'll thank you later. You're our fourth listener, and we'd love to read your emails right here on the show, so hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. And finally, Gen X Grown Up is more than just this podcast. Our YouTube channel has hundreds of videos ready for you to enjoy, plus you can find our entire body of work on genxgrownup.com. Before we wrap this one up, gents, I wanted to ask you kind of a round robin question here. So we've been reminiscing on that school experience, you know, how we, what things were like, what we used, what things are still around and what aren't. And since we've been remembering how we enjoyed or didn't enjoy school, if you could pick any one school year from K through 12 to repeat, and I'm not talking time travel, go back and tell yourself don't do something. Like you just, I want to relive that one school year and do it again. Maybe you want to repeat something. Maybe you want to change something you did wrong, or maybe you just love that time of your life or whatever. What school year would you redo and why? Let's start with you, Bo.
Oh, wow. I'm not sure if this is necessarily the grade, but the one first one that popped in my head would probably redo seventh grade.
Seventh grade? Why?
Yep, because that was the year I met my two friends who I'm still friends with, you know, to this day.
Yeah,
like I said, right. I mean, and that probably the people that, I would say that's probably the group of people probably helped influence me the most through my life. Like, they're the ones, like my elementary school friends, I hardly ever keep in contact with them.
Right.
You know, from that junior high school on are the people I kind of kept in contact with and I remember the most about. And it was just a fun time, to be quite honest. I just loved the seventh grade, junior high school. You're not elementary anymore. You're kind of...
That's funny.
That tween area.
My answer is the same. I was going to say seventh grade because my elementary went through six, and my first year in seventh grade was when I met friends that I still know and talk to today. Some of my best friends in there. I started in music and band in there, the seventh grade, mm-hmm. and I was starting to not feel isolated. I wasn't just one of the kids. I was someone with an identity at that point, and I just enjoyed it. I would change a thing about it. I would just go back and do it again. What about you, George?
Oh, well, we might as well be a slot machine because seventh was my lucky number as well.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. I mean, I loved high school. High school is, those are the friends that I still have somewhat moderate contact with even today, but I'm not really the type of person that keeps in contact with people for long periods of time very often. It's very rare that I do that. But seventh grade were a lot of firsts for me, some that I can mention on air, like talking about, you know, really understanding how I wanted to do in athletics, like really getting good at baseball and some other sports, and then learning some stuff. Like I got a couple of writing awards in the seventh grade and stuff that was really fun for me. And then some things I can't mention on here. I had some firsts in seventh grade that were very unusual and unique from what I understand. But yeah, it was a great year. I had a lot of fun there. It was right at the end of middle school. So it's kind of when you're starting, it's like your junior senior year of high school. It's that transition period you know, like you're not the freshman sophomore dumbass anymore. Now you're kind of the upper echelon of the classes. So it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that seventh
That's
year
funny
a lot.
That we picked the same thing. That's cool. Before we put this one to bed, I want to take a second here at the end of the show to give our gratitude to our patrons, the folks who support us financially over on patreon.com, literally supply the funds we need to keep us going here on the podcast, over on YouTube and on the website. And I want to thank each and every one of them individually. Thank you, Greg Z, Arlem, Adam, Stu Monkey, Davis, Chet, Levi, Mike C, Ben, Lee, Dan, Jason, Chad, Matt, Marcus, Greg L, Dana, Slobo, Thomas, Agile, Jonathan, HT, and Tony, Mark, Stubaka, Sean, T2, David, Shelby, Blast It, or Stash It, and Travis is our collection of amazing human beings. If you're interested in supporting what we do and have not done so yet, Mo, would you tell the fine fourth listeners how they can get that fixed?
Oh, absolutely. All they got to do is go to genxgrownup.com/Patreon, and it'll take you right to the link where you could pick whatever level you're comfortable with. The higher your level, the more interesting stuff you get. You know, you get things like special content, you get some swag. At the highest levels, you can even help influence the show a little bit.
That's right.
These times are tough for everybody. We understand that. So everybody, no matter what you give, we appreciate it, like with full heartedly.
Always meaningful.
Yeah,
this time, this time and date, even more so. So grateful.
It shows us that you appreciate what we do and helps keep our lights on.
Heck yeah. All right. Thanks, Mo. That's going to wrap it up for this show. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another Backtrack, but next week with a regular show. We hope you'll join us for that. Until then, I am John. George, thank you for being here.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know I appreciate you, man.
Oh, man, always fun.
Fourth listeners, it's you we all appreciate, though, most of all, and we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X Grown-Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com.
No more washing shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Yeah,
that's true.
For sure.
That was a good way to kick that off. Nobody.
That was, yeah, for sure.
Okay, that was a moment.
Yeah. You've got questions, we've got answers. business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.